வக்ரதுண்ட மகாகாய சூர்யகோடி சமப்ரபா நிர்விக்னம் குரு மே தேவ சர்வகாரியேஷு சர்வதா சிவசக்த்யா யுக்தோ யதி பவதி சக்தஹ ப்ரபவிதும் நச்சே தேவம் தேவோ ந கலு குஷலஹ ஸ்பந்திதுமபி அதஸ்த்வாமாராத்யா ஹரிஹர விரிஞ்சாதிபிரபி ப்ரணந்தும் ஸ்தோதும் வா கதமக்ருத புண்யஹ ப்ரபவதி.
Sri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday on the 14th of May 2020, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. Let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. Why should we practice seeing God in ourselves and in everyone? Bhagwan lovingly points out to us today, and I quote, "A person living without love is as good as dead. You are having love towards your father, mother, wife, children and others. There is nothing wrong in this, but you must see God in every one of them. This is the essence of the well-known prayer, Tvameva Mata Cha Pita Tvameva. This prayer addressed to the Supreme Being means, O my Lord, you are the father, mother, friend and relative. You are knowledge and wealth. You are everything. We should see God in every being. The whole universe is a manifestation of Brahman or divinity. You are divine, but you are not realizing it. When you do namaskaram with folded hands in obeisance, it means that you are offering your 5 karmendriyas, organs of action, and 5 jnanendriyas, organs of perception, to the divine. Offering namaskaram itself emphasizes unity. If you have unity and purity, divinity will blossom there." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on April 11th, 1994. Dear listener, today as the world is continuing with lockdowns and social distancing due to the spread of the coronavirus, let us all take all the precautions mandated by the government and the health department, and also maintain personal and community hygiene, and also let us continue to engage in prayers at our own places wherever we are for world peace. The time right now in our studios is 50 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time, and today in Divine Glory I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the Holy Book. That is continuing the readings from the Holy Book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hema Tant, followed by an interview from Radio Sai Archives, an interview with Professor Anil Kumar, the translator of Bhagwan's Divine Discourses. And in conversation with him is Professor G. Venkatraman, the former Vice Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and also the former director of Radio Sai. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy, happy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Also praying to Lord Almighty that the pandemic caused by the coronavirus disease be eradicated and all the suffering come to an end at the earliest. Samasta lokaha sukino bhavantu.
Amralila Mango Miracle. Once a parcel of about 300 good mangoes was received at Shirdi. It was sent from Goa by one mamlatdar named Raleigh to Sai Baba in the name of Shama. When it was opened, all the mangoes were found to be in good condition. They were given in Shama's charge and only four were retained and placed in the pot by Baba. He said, "These four fruits are for Damu Anna. Let them lie there." This Damu Anna had three wives. According to his statement mentioned above, he had not three but two wives only. He had no issue. He consulted many astrologers and himself studied astrology to some extent and found there was a Papi planet in his horoscope and there was no prospect of any issue to him in this life. But he had great faith in Baba. When he went to Shirdi 2 hours after the mangoes arrived, Baba said, "Though other people are looking for the mangoes, they are Damu Annas. He whose they are should eat and die." Damu Anna, on hearing these words, was first shocked. But on Mahasapati explaining to him that death meant the death of the ego and to have it at Baba's feet was a blessing, Damu Anna said he could accept the fruits and eat them. But Baba said to him, "Do not eat yourself, but give them to your younger wife. This Amralila will give her four sons and four daughters." This was done, and in due course it was found Baba's words turned out true and not those of the astrologers. Baba's speech established its efficacy or greatness while he was living in the flesh. But it did the same even after his passing away. Baba said, "Believe me, though I pass away, my bones in my tomb would be speaking, moving and communicating with those who would surrender themselves wholeheartedly to me. Do not be anxious that I would be absent from you. You will hear my bones speaking and discussing your welfare. But remember me always, believe me in your heart and soul, and then you will be most benefited." Prayer. Hemant Pant closes this chapter with a prayer. O Sai Sadguru, the wish-fulfilling tree of the Bhaktas, we pray, let us never forget and lose sight of your feet. We have been troubled with the ins and outs, births and deaths in this sansar. Now free us from the cycle of births and deaths. Restrain us from the outgoing of our senses to their objects and introvert us. Bring us face to face with the Atma. As long as this outgoing tendency of the senses and the mind is not checked, there is no prospect of self-realization. Neither son nor wife nor friend will be of any use in the end. It is only you who will give us salvation and bliss. Destroy completely our tendency for discussions and other evil matters. Let our tongue get a passion for chanting your name. Drive out our thoughts and make us forget our bodies and do away with our egoism. Make us ever remember your name and forget all other things. remove the restlessness of our mind and make it steady and calm. If you just clasp us, the darkness of the night of our ignorance will vanish, and we shall live happily in your light. That you made us drink the nectar of your leelas and awakened us from our slumber is due to your grace and our store of merits in past births. Note, in this connection, the following extract from Damuanna's statement mentioned above is worth knowing. Damuanna says, "Once when I sat at his feet along with many others, I had two questions in my mind, and Baba gave answers to both. My first question, there are so many crowding Sai Baba, do they all get benefit from him? To this, Baba replied orally, look at the mango tree in blossom. If all the flowers become fruit, what a splendid crop it would be. But do they? Most fall off, either as flowers or as unripe fruits by wind. Very few remain. The second question was about myself. If Baba were to pass away, how hopelessly adrift I would be, and how am I to fare then? To this Baba answered, he would be with me whenever and wherever I thought of him. That promise he had kept up before 1918 and has been keeping up after 1918. He's still with me. He's still guiding me. This was about 1910-11, when brothers separated from me and my sister died. And there was a theft and police inquiry. All these incidents made me very disturbed. When my sister died, my mind was much upset. I did not care for life and enjoyment. When I went to Baba, he pacified me with his Updesh and made me eat a feast of Puran Poli at Appa Kulkarni's house. There was a theft in my house. A 30-year-old friend of mine stole my wife's jewel box, including her auspicious nath or nose ring. I wept before Baba's photo. The next day, the man returned the jewel box and asked for pardon. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 26. Stories of Bhakt Pant, Harishchandra Pitle, Gopal Ambedkar. Preliminary. All the things that we see in the universe are nothing but a play of Maya, the creative power of the Lord. These things do not really exist. What really exists is the Absolute. Just as we mistake a rope or a garland for a serpent on account of darkness, we always see the phenomena as they outwardly appear and not the reality that underlies all visible things. It is only the Satguru who opens the eyes of our understanding and enables us to see things in their true light and not as they appear. Let us therefore worship the Sadguru and pray to him to give us the true vision, which is nothing but God vision. Inner worship. Hemad Pant has given us a novel form of worship. Let us, he says, use water in the form of tears of joy to wash the Sadguru's feet. Let us smear his body with sandal paste of pure love. Let us cover his body with a cloth of true faith. Let us offer 8 lotuses in the form of our 8 sattvic emotions and fruit in the form of our concentrated mind. Let us apply to his head the bukha in the form of devotion and tie the waistband of bhakti and place our head at his feet. After decorating the Sadguru with all ornamentation this way, let us offer ourselves to him and wave chamar of devotion to ward off heat. After such blissful worship, let us pray. Turn our mind inward. Give us discrimination between the unreal and the real and non-attachment for all worldly things, and thus enable us to get self-realization. We surrender ourselves, body and soul, body consciousness and ego to you. Make our eyes yours, so that we should never feel pleasure and pain. Control our body and mind as you wish. Let our mind rest in your feet. Now, let us turn to the stories of this chapter. Bhakt Pant. Once it so happened that a devotee by name Pant, a disciple of another guru, had the good fortune of visiting Shirdi. He had no mind to go to Shirdi, but a man proposes one way and God disposes the other. He was travelling in Bombay Baroda and Central Indian Railway train, where he met many friends bound for Shirdi. They all asked him to accompany them and he could not say no. They alighted at Mumbai while Pant got down at Birar. There, he took the permission of his guru for the Shirdi trip and after arranging for the expenses, left with the party for Shirdi. They all reached the place in the morning and went to the masjid at about 11 a.m. On seeing the concourse of the devotees assembled for Baba's worship, they were all pleased. But Pant suddenly got a fit and fell senseless. They were all frightened. Still, they tried their best to revive him to his senses. With Baba's grace, after sprinkling water over his head, he regained his consciousness and sat upright as if he was just awakened from sleep. The omniscient Baba, knowing that he was a disciple of another guru, assured him and confirmed his faith in his own guru by addressing him as follows. Come what may, leave not but stick to your own bolster and ever remain steady with him. Pant at once knew the significance of this remark and thus he was reminded of his own guru. This kindness of Baba he never forgot in his life. Harishchandra Pittale. There was a gentleman by name Harishchandra Pittale in Mumbai. He had a son who suffered from epilepsy. He tried many allopathic and Ayurvedic physicians, but there was no cure. There remained only one way of remedy, resorting to the saints. It has been stated in chapter 15 that Das Ganu, by his inimitable and splendid kirtans, spread the fame of Sai Baba in the Mumbai presidency. Mr. Pittale heard some of these kirtans in 1910 and learnt therefrom and from the others that Baba, with his touch and mere glance, cured many incurable diseases. A desire arose in his mind to see Sai Baba. Making all preparations and taking offerings and fruit baskets, Mr. Pittale came to Shirdi with his family, wife and children. He then went to the masjid with them, prostrated before Baba, and placed his sick son at Baba's feet. No sooner Baba saw the child, an untoward thing happened. The son immediately revolved his eyes and fell down senseless. His mouth began to throw foam and his whole body began to perspire profusely. It seemed as if he breathed himself out. Seeing this, the parents became very nervous and upset. The boy used to get such fits very often, but this fit seemed to persist longer. Tears began to flow ceaselessly from the mother's eyes and she began to wail that her condition was like that of a person who, being afraid of the robbers, ran into a house that collapsed on him. Or like a cow, fearing a tiger, ran into the hands of a butcher. Or like a traveller who, being tormented by the heat of the sun, went to take refuge under a tree that fell upon him. Or even like a devout person going for worship into a temple that collapsed upon him. Then Baba comforted her, saying, "Do not wail like this. Wait a bit. Have patience. Take the boy to your lodging. He will come to his senses within half an hour." They did as directed by Baba and found his words came true. As soon as he was taken into the wada, the boy recovered and all the Pittale family and others were very happy and all their doubts disappeared. Then Mr. Pittale went with his wife to see Baba and prostrated himself before him very humbly and respectfully and sat shampooing his legs and mentally thanking Baba for his kind help. Baba then smilingly said, "Have not all your thoughts, doubts and apprehensions calmed down now? Hari will protect him who has got faith and patience." Mr. Pittale was a rich and well-to-do gentleman. He distributed sweetmeats on a large scale and offered to Baba excellent fruits and pan. Mrs. Pittale was a very pious lady, simple, loving and faithful. She used to sit near the post, gazing at Baba with tears of joy flowing down from her eyes. Seeing her amicable and loving nature, Baba was much pleased with her. Like gods, saints are always dependent on their devotees who surrender and worship them with their heart and soul. After passing some happy days in Baba's company, the Pitale family came to the masjid to take Baba's leave to depart. Baba gave them udi and blessings and called Mr. Pitale close by and said to him, "Bapu, I had given you ₹2 before. Now I give you ₹3. Keep these in your shrine for worship and you will be benefited." Mr. Pitale accepted these as prasad, prostrated himself again before Baba and prayed for his blessings. A thought arose in his mind that, as this was his first visit to Shirdi, he could not understand what Baba meant when he said that he had given him ₹2 before. He was curious to have this mystery solved, but Baba kept silent. When Mr. Pitale returned to Mumbai, he narrated to his old mother all that had happened at Shirdi and the mystery about Baba giving him ₹2 earlier. The mother also did not understand the mystery. But thinking seriously about this, she was reminded of an old incident which solved the mystery. She said to her son, "As you now went to Sai Baba with your son, so had your father done when he took you to Akalkot for the darshan of the Maharaj many years ago. That Maharaj was also a Siddha, perfect yogi, omniscient and gracious. Your father was devout and his worship was accepted. He then gave your father ₹2 for being kept in the shrine and worshipped. Your father worshipped them until his death, but thereafter the worship was neglected and the rupees were lost. After some years, the memory of those ₹2 also disappeared, and now, as you are very fortunate, the Akalkot Maharaj has appeared to you in the form of Sai Baba just to remind you of your duties and worship to ward off all dangers. Now beware henceforth. Leave all doubts and bad thoughts, follow your ancestors and go on worshipping the family gods and the rupees, and take pride in the blessing of the saints. Sai Samarth has kindly revived the spirit of bhakti in you, cultivate it to your benefit." Hearing the remarks of the mother, Mr. Pitale was very much delighted. He came to know and was convinced about the all-pervasiveness of Baba and the significance of his darshan. Thenceforward, he became very careful about his conduct. Mr. Ambedkar. Mr. Gopal Narayan Ambedkar of Pune was a devotee of Baba. He served for 10 years in the Akbari department in the Thana district and in Jabhar state, from where he had to retire. He tried to get some other job but did not succeed. He was overtaken by other calamities and his condition grew from bad to worse. He passed 7 years in this condition, visiting Shirdi every year and placing his grievance before Baba. In 1916, his plight became worse and he decided to commit suicide in Shirdi. So he came there with his wife and stayed for 2 months. One night, while sitting in a bullock cart in front of Dikshit Wada, he resolved to end his life by throwing himself into a well close by. But Baba wished to do something else. A few paces from this place, there was a hotel, and its proprietor, Mr. Sagun, a devotee of Baba, came out and accosted him thus, "Did you ever read Akalkot Maharaj's life?" Ambedkar took this book from Sagun and began to read it. Casually, or we may say providentially, he came across a story which was to this effect. During the lifetime of Akalkot Maharaj, a certain devotee suffered very much from an incurable disease, and when he could no longer endure the agony and pain, he became desperate and in order to end his miseries threw himself one night into a well. Immediately the Maharaj came there and took him out with his own hands and advised him thus, "You must bear the fruit, good or bad, of your past actions. If it is incomplete, suicide won't help you. You have to take another birth and suffer again. So instead of killing yourself, why not suffer for some more time and finish up the fruit of your past deeds and be done with it once and for all?" Reading this appropriate and timely story, Ambedkar was much surprised and moved. Had he not got Baba's hint through the story, he would have been no more. On seeing Baba's all-pervasiveness and benevolence, His faith in him was confirmed and he became a staunch devotee. His father was a devotee of Akalkot Maharaj, and Sai Baba wanted him to walk into his father's footsteps and continue his devotion to him. He then got Sai Baba's blessings and his prospects began to improve. He studied astrology and gained proficiency in it and thereby improved his lot. He was able to earn sufficient money and pass his later life in ease and comfort. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 27. Favor shown by giving Bhagavat and Vishnu Sahasranam, Dixit's Vithal Vision, Gita Rahasya, Kharpade. This chapter describes how Sai Baba favored his devotees by granting them religious books after he had touched and consecrated them for Parayan and certain other matters. Preliminary. When a man takes refuge at the feet of the Sadguru, he gets the merit of bowing to the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, and also Parabrahma. Victory be unto Sri Sai, the wish-fulfilling tree and the ocean of knowledge, who gives us self-realization. O Sai, create in us reverence for your stories. Let the readers and audience devour them with the same relish with which the Chatak bird drinks the water from the clouds and becomes happy. While listening to your stories, let them and their families get all the true and pious emotions. Let their bodies perspire, let their eyes be full of tears, let their breath be steady, let their minds be composed, let their hair stand on end, let them cry, sob and quiver, let their hostilities vanish. When these things happen, that is a sign of the grace of the Guru dawning upon them. When these emotions grow in you, the Guru is most pleased and will certainly lead you on the path of self-realization. The best way, therefore, to get free from the shackles of Maya is a complete and wholehearted surrender to Baba. The Vedas cannot take you across the ocean of Maya. It is only the Sadguru who can do so and make you see the God in all creatures. Granting consecrated book. The various methods of imparting instructions followed by Baba have already been noticed in the previous chapters. In this, we shall deal with one aspect of it. It was the habit of some devotees to take to Baba some religious books of which they wanted to make a special study and to receive the same back from him after they were touched and consecrated by him. While reading such books daily, they felt that Baba was with them. Once, Kaka Mahajani came to Shirdi with a copy of Eknathi Bhagwat. Shama took this book to read in the masjid. There Baba took it from him, touched it, and turning some pages here and there, gave it back to Shama and asked him to keep it with him. When Shama said that it belonged to Kaka and had to be returned to him, Baba replied, "No, I have given it to you. You better keep it. It will be of use to you." In this way, many books were entrusted to Shama. Kaka Mahajani, after a few days, came again with another copy of the same Bhagavat and gave it in Baba's hand. Then Baba gave it back as prasad and asked him to preserve it well and assured him that it would stand him in good stead. Kaka accepted it with reverence. Shama and Vishnu Sahasranam. Shama was a very intimate devotee of Baba, and Baba wanted to favor him in a particular way by giving him a copy of Vishnu Sahasranam as prasad. This was done in the following way. Once a Ramdasi came to Shirdi and stayed there for some time. The routine he followed daily was as follows. He got up early in the morning, washed his face, bathed, and then, after wearing saffron-colored clothes and smearing himself with sacred ashes, he read the Vishnu Sahasranam, a book giving 1,000 names in praise of Vishnu and held second in importance to Bhagavad Gita. He also read the Adhyatma Ramayana with faith. He read these books very often. After some days, Baba thought of favoring and initiating Shama with Vishnu Sahasranam. He therefore called the Ramdasi to him and said to him he was suffering from intense stomach pain and unless he took Sena pods, the pain would not stop. So he should please go to the bazaar and bring the drug. The Ramdasi closed his reading and went to the bazaar. Then Baba came from his seat to Ramdasi's place of reading and took out the copy of Vishnu Sahasranam and after coming back to his seat, said to Shama, "Shama, this book is very valuable and efficacious. So I present it to you. You read it." Once I suffered intensely and my heart began to palpitate and my life was in danger. At that critical moment, I hugged this book to my heart and then, Shama, what a relief it gave me. I thought that Allah Himself had come down and saved me. So, I give this to you. Read it slowly, little by little. Read daily one name at least, and it will do you good. Shama replied that he did not want it, and that the owner, the Ramdasi, who was a bad-tempered, obstinate, and irritable fellow, would certainly pick up a quarrel with him. Besides, being a rustic himself, he could not read distinctly the Sanskrit text of the book. Shama thought that Baba wanted to set him up against the Ramdasi by this act of his. But he had no idea what Baba felt for him. Baba must have thought to tie this necklace of Vishnu Sahasranam around the neck of Shama as he was an intimate devotee, though a rustic, and thus save him from the miseries of the worldly existence. The efficacy of God's name is well known. It saves us from all sins and bad tendencies, frees us from the cycle of births and deaths. There is no easier sadhana than this. It is the best purifier of our mind. It requires no paraphernalia and no restrictions. It is so easy and so effective. This sadhana Baba wanted Shama to practice, though he did not crave for it. So Baba forced it on him. It is also reported that long ago Eknath Maharaj similarly forced this Vishnu Sahasranam on a poor Brahmin neighbor and thus saved him. The reading and study of this Vishnu Sahasranam is a broad open way of purifying the mind and hence Baba thrust this on his devotee Shama.
Thank you.
Turning to Side.
Spend the day with Side.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So, Anil Kumar Garu, welcome to the studios of Radio Sai. Normally, I begin by asking our visitor or guest, shall I say, you are not a guest, you are not a visitor, you are one of us, by asking them to introduce themselves. In your case, that is not necessary because you are, I won't say next only to God, you stand next to God so often. Nevertheless, I think most of us don't know how you first came to Swami. So maybe you could tell us very briefly how you came to Swami. There is something that we always want to know because each person is drawn to Bhagwan in a different way at the right time by Him. Of course, He does everything. He pulls the string. We want to know how He pulled the string in your case.
Sir, I am Anil Kumar from the state of Andhra Pradesh, and I belong to Brahmo Samaj, founded by Raja Ramohan Roy, and our families have been following this faith, Brahmo Samaj, for the last three generations.
What is special about this Brahmo Samaj?
Brahmos don't have idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
It believes in fellowship of faiths,
mm-hmm.
inter-religious faiths,
mm-hmm.
congregation worship. It does not accept caste system. It believes that all religions are equal. And it also worked for women's emancipation.
So everything that is in Vedanta is there.
In other words, Raja Ramohan Roy is called prophet of modern India.
Very good. Of
and both of my grandfathers happened to be Brahmo missionaries,
mm-hmm.
who sacrificed their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it is only in the year 1970 I came to Swami for the first time,
mm-hmm.
because of some problem at home.
That's the
my wife was sick, and I took her around 13 doctors almost, spent thousands of rupees of money. But after coming to Swami, she had a total cure. But being interested in philosophy since my childhood,
mm.
having been brought up by my grandfather,
naturally.
I started reading his literature,
mm.
and I found that Baba explains Brahmo Samaj better than Raja Ramohan Roy himself.
No, after all, he's the source, so there's no surprise in that.
So I believe that I'm a staunch Brahmo now than ever before.
Yes, that's what Swami always says, be a good Christian, be a good Muslim, be a good Jew, whatever, etc. Now, you are a very good teacher, and you also know a lot about how Swami, as the supreme teacher, molds students. So I am going to ask you some questions relating to that. In particular, I want you to share with all of us, and of course our listeners, the thrilling experience about Kodaikanal. It is said that Kodaikanal is Swami's playground, whereas Prasathinilam is his office and Vrindavan is his home. You have been to his playground many times. How many times?
At least six.
Oh, that's pretty good. And I suppose many more are in store for you.
Thank you, sir.
It seems to be a very, very extraordinary event, and an event with a purpose. So you may like to tell us about the various aspects relating to the Kodaikanal trip, starting from the beginning. I won't put any constraints on you. You know the whole works. You tell us like it was or it is.
Well, sir, Swami selects students who follow him to Kodaikanal each year. And the selection is based on their performance here in the college, academic, their conduct, their devotion, their excellence in sports and games, their talents in singing, the fear and also the dramatics as well. All talented students who are highly devoted are selected by Bhagwan to follow him, besides few other teachers also.
Mm.
The Kodaikanal is such a beautiful place. If I am to say how a paradise would be, well, that could not be anything other than Kodaikanal.
Mm.
The description of a heaven or a paradise in any scripture of any religion would certainly agree with the life with Bhagwan there in Kodaikanal.
When does Swami go to Kodaikanal, typically?
Usually he starts on 4th of April.
Oh, it's as precise as that.
4th of April and returns by 5th of May. Hmm. Roughly about a month he spends there. But there were occasions when he stayed on 6th of May also, where we celebrated Easter Monday there in Kodaikanal. That had happened twice, I believe. Kodaikanal is most interesting because Swami is very, very close to boys. And boys can learn many, many things from him.
I suppose boys also are close to Swami.
Very, very, very intimate.
How many hours a day typically he is with them?
Sir, immediately after breakfast, he spends an hour with them. And then Bhagwan goes to the devotees and grants them interviews. And boys will just go around the lake, and they return by 9:30. From 9:30 to 11 o'clock, again Swami talks to them.
9:30 to 11.
Second talk. Then after lunch, and we have tea around 2 o'clock, and Swami talks to boys again from 2:30 till 4 o'clock. And 4 to 5 public meeting, where boys also sit there. And after the public meeting, Swami talks to the chosen devotees and students again. It's something like an eco session.
Public meeting means discourse also.
A discourse. There in the mandir there. For all the devotees coming from different
parts.
So
from morning to evening Swami is talking?
At least 5 discourses a day.
My God.
On the average. 4 exclusively for students. And it's also wonderful how Swami treats them, and he inquires about their families, their children, their brothers.
Okay,
sisters.
Let's start from, you know, Bangalore. He always starts from Bangalore.
Yes, yes, yes.
It must be pretty exciting to go to Kodaikanal. Let us start from there. Tell us everything about how you go from Bangalore to Kodaikanal.
Well, what he does is, there is one air-conditioned big van here, air-conditioned with cushioned seats and everything, a sink behind, and Swami tells all boys to get into that van, and tins and tins loads of sweets and hearts and eatables, apart from fruits, plenty. One can go on eating until they reach Kodaikanal, neck deep. Very funny. And as we start going, not less than 15 to 20 places, Bhagwan gets down on his way to Kodaikanal, en route Kodaikanal. Because the Tamil Nadu is full of Sai devotees all over. Every village in Tamil Nadu has Sai center. So along the highway, devotees raise a huge pandal. They all sit there doing bhajan. And Swami gets down there and takes harati and blesses all the devotees, makes a quick round and gets back into his car.
Takes letters also.
Takes letters and smiles and says, how are you? And gets back into the car and the convoy proceeds.
So how long does it take you to go from Bangalore to Kodaikanal with stops for lunch, breakfast?
Yes, we start around 5 o'clock there in Bangalore and reach Kodaikanal 5:30 or 6 in the evening.
12 hours.
To stretch. And there are certain important places like Dindigal, Salem, Coimbatore, where audience roughly about 25,000 people gather waiting for Bhagwan. The other centers will have not less than 1,000 or 2,000. But these big towns where Bhagwan addressed devotees long back, they assemble in very, very large number, and then Swami reaches Kodaikanal. There he gives to every boy a sleeping bag where they just get in and put on the zip. And we don't know if it's a gunny bag of rice or a boy sleeping inside.
Sleeping bags are very modern, nylon and so
nylon.
On. So.
And the next morning he distributes them toothbrush, toothpaste, shaving cream, after shaving lotion, the blades, the razor, towels, new dress, cameras, what not. One suitcase load of gifts of daily needs and certain things, monumental presentations that we feel like preserving for the posterity.
So you can go without any luggage and accumulate a lot of luggage.
Take one suitcase, bring back with us 3 suitcases.
So what happens to less luggage?
And then the sumptuous meal we have, the breakfast we have 3 items, and lunch 10 items, tea, afternoon tea 4 items, dinner 10 items.
Tell me, Anil Kumar Gaur, after eating all this, how do you manage to stay awake through all those 5 sessions when Swami speaks?
Because Swami's speech is always like appetizer. Just as we feel like listening to him more, that will be followed by eating more and more later.
So food for the stomach, food for the head, food for the heart.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. And also at times he takes boys to certain distant places on a picnic, where he almost plays with boys. He goes on singing with boys. All funny things happen.
Does it remind you of Krishna and Gopalas?
I think that's all action replayed, as you call it. Something like action, rewinding.
Except
the tape.
Except for the so-called age difference of the physical bodies.
So one crosses all the age barriers and he materializes certain things. I know, sir, 1 year he materialized the ring worn by Sri Ramachandra, presented by his father Dasharatha.
Oh, Dasharatha gave.
Dasharatha gave the white stone. And then he smiled, looked around, and materialized another ring, green stone ring, presented to Ramachandra by his father-in-law, Janaka.
So I am told these rings are very big.
Very big. I said, Swami, it almost fits of the size of my waist here. How is such a big ring? Swami said, Ramachandra personality in those days is such. Ajanubahu. Very tall stature, very tall. That's what it is.
8 feet or something.
8 feet. And he materialized Mangala Sutra also. The sacred thread of Sita Mata. And I also seen Swami materializing the chain of Ravana also.
Ravana?
With 365 Sivalingas. 365 Sivalingas. And at the center, 3 Sivalingas. Down below, where you have the pendant, 3 large Sivalingas. One yellow, one green, one blue.
What happens to these?
And all 360 gold. And the 3 at the center, crystal, large size Sivalingas, worn by Ravanasura.
So what happens to these jewels after
these things, they go back to Sai stores. They both go back to source. He also materialized the golden deer. That has drawn the attention.
You are allowed to touch these things?
We are allowed to touch these things. And sir, I have also seen on another occasion, Swami said, tomorrow we'll have the wedding function of Balarama and Revati.
Achcha.
And he invited all guests to attend lunch. Oh, sumptuous lunch. And in the afternoon, he went on speaking about Balarama and Revati Kalyana.
That is never talked about. I didn't even know that Revati was married to Balarama.
And at the end, he materializes such a thing, sir. An arch with diamonds in 3 to 4 rows.
My God.
An arch. At the center.
How big was the arch? How many centimeters?
I can show this much.
15 centimeters.
At least.
My God.
And at the center of the arch, there's a gold chain to which is hanging a swan. With eyes very clear, no beak very clear, stomach, you can see very transparent and translucent, hanging.
My God.
And then everybody started looking at it. Swami came and said, hey, look deep. When I started looking, there in the stomach of the swan, we find Bhagwan Baba in the reclining posture. In the stomach of the swan.
I see.
He said, you see, this is what it is. That
like,
also has
like Narayana Sai.
This Ananda Sai in the reclining posture in the stomach of the swan. That also I have seen. Such a fantastic thing. And he has also materialized Chudamani, a thing that Hanuman brought.
Yes, from Sita.
As a kind of identification that he is from the father, Sri Ramachandra, to report back to the mother, to establish his credibility. He has shown that Chudamani also.
How do boys stay? They must be just transported to a different way.
They come very, very close. Swami, let us see. And everybody touches Abba, somebody kisses. And then all devotees say, Swami, we want to see. And he will keep it on the table so that everybody can gaze. Photographs can be taken. And some of them are here in our museum also.
I see. Yes. Fantastic. And can you recall some really moving incidents or spectacular incidents or heartwarming incidents, because there must be a few of these things.
Well, there was one student, sir, from the state of Kerala. Swami started showing...
How long ago was that?
About 6 to 8 years back.
Okay, 6 to 8 years.
Swami was showing special concern for him. We were doubting why. And in fact, I was even jealous also. Mm-hmm. He materialized ring for him, mm-hmm. chain for him, mm-hmm. a watch for him, as if the whole trip is meant for that boy. Well, I was feeling so bad. Swami, you can give me one watch. Why not? Why not? And some other stores, certain other boys. Why this special attention to this boy? After a few days, he materialized a pair of earrings to that boy.
Earrings?
Earrings.
Well, ladies, don't wear that.
Ladies only wear girls. How is that he materialized earrings for this boy? I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And fourth day, he materialized another set of earrings to the same boy. Mm-hmm. Swami, I have three daughters, so you can give me. Why to that boy? Why to that boy, after all, an unmarried fellow? Then, after a week, mm-hmm. Swami started giving his discourse. Some people started questioning why Swami is showing special concern. Mm-hmm. Some people are also doubting why I gave earrings to that boy. They do not know. That boy lost his mother long back. I have been watching him crying, sitting in a corner. Mm-hmm. I called him close by and inquired what all that had happened that led to the death of his mother. And he has two sisters. Her mother's wish was to present gold earrings to the daughters. Before that is materialized, she died. I am his mother. I am their mother. So, who will care for them? So I materialize these earrings to the boys. You don't understand what I do. Whatever I do, whatever I say, has got a deeper significance and inner meaning. And the boy's father, out of frustration, he wanted to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
I made him come here, took a promise him that he would not die, that he would not make an attempt to die. And I am taking care of the family. It's only since that day the boy started smiling. That really touched my heart. Swami, you are the mother of mothers, dearer and nearer than the physical mother. You care for them. I am sure that none of us will experience that depth, that intensity, that gratitude, that magnitude of love that we receive from
but
God.
Won't you say that Swami has always that feeling towards, only we are not able to see it. We say Swami is angry, Swami is not talking. Swami cannot be anything other than a loving.
Yes, because it is God. Beyond human gaze and estimation. After all, human being is carried only in a narrow way, limiting himself to his own self and the family.
I remember Swami always saying, he quotes Krishna also, God does not change, it's only man who changes. One day he says God is good, another day he says God is not so great.
Yes.
So the problem is with man, not with God.
Yes, sir. He gives one example also. Huh? While we go by train, we say Bangalore is coming. Mm-hmm. And while leaving from Bangalore, we say Bangalore left. Bangalore has not come. It has not left. It is only I that who went there and who left from there.
Okay, now, are there any memorable incidents that you recall from the Kodaikanal trip?
Swami starts distributing peppermints and charcoal bars mm-hmm. and all things. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he said, one day, mm-hmm. while I am distributing all these sweets and chocolates, mm-hmm. there is one fellow who is not eating. Mm-hmm. And he is keeping all, dumping them all mm-hmm. in his bag. Mm-hmm. Come on, boy, search everybody's bag, as if it is something like income tax search, income tax raid. Then I said softly, Bhagwan, why trouble? I am not eating. I am keeping them in the bag. Bhagwan said, why do you do that? Swami, I have four children. They expect something from me. When I take back these costly things, most precious things like peppermints and all the whatever you give, they're most valuable to all of us, and children will jump in joy. Swami said, oh, is that so? He told everybody, hereafter you give Anil Kumar four for his children to be kept in the bag, one for him. Just as you feel happy as your children eat, I feel happy when you eat here, what Bhagwan said. How can I forget? I don't remember that anybody loved me more than Bhagwan Baba himself. This is the feeling with every devotee. After all, this is the chance that you have given me, sir, to express my experience. It has the experience with millions of the devotees all the world over.
Now, what does Swami expect in return for all this? This is a sort of a typical, human question. I know God does not expect, but let us hear what you have to say.
Well, He only wants us to learn from Him. Just as He loved us, we need to love the fellow men, the family, and God. Because God is love, and love is God. Live in love. Let me live in love. That is the message.
Sir, I am told that 1 year on Isurama Day, I think it was, Swami distributed blankets to the poor and then he went out and all that sort of thing. You were present at that time?
He went out and started stopping his cases.
That seems to be a very unusual and a moving incident. So why don't you tell us about
it? The blankets were distributed to all the poor people who assembled that day, the Isurama Day, the 6th of May. Mm. And suddenly Swami said, let us start. And he got into his car, and the car and the convoy started moving. He stopped here and there, noticing poor people. He got down and started personally distributing these blankets.
Did he explain why?
Bhagawan said, you should take every chance to care for the poor and the needy and the forlorn. Mm. This is an example that everybody should learn from Bhagawan. Not that you expect them to come to you, you should go to them. Daridra Narayana.
Was it also because some of them could not come because they were disabled? And
yes, sir. Yeah, you're very much true. Yes, sir. Very much. And not only that, sir. On our way to Kodaikanal, sometimes, suddenly he stops car. He finds a beggar going over there. Mm. He finds a village woman carrying the head load of the firewood. Mm. He stops and calls them and gives them money. And they never saw Swami. And they never know that he is Sai Baba. He simply gives money like that. Well, when I strangely look at him, Bhagawan says, I don't want recognition. I don't want publicity. I cannot see these poor people suffering like that. Sir, I think you will be more thrilled and excited if I tell you another point. Bhagawan purchased that candy puffs, peach mitai candy puffs. He purchased about 25 of them. Mm-hmm. And his car is full of these candy puffs. And he started distributing to all VIPs. They looked at him and Bhagawan said, you know why I bought them? Mm. Here in this Kodaikanal, there are some aged people. Mm. They cannot move about. Mm. And their children, they carry on their livelihood by selling these candy puffs. So when I purchase them, they go back home with the money and give to their parents, and today is taken care of. And from that day, everybody started purchasing candy puffs because Swami said you should buy. And you know, I would give for 25 candy puffs, after all, he may have to pay 10 rupees or 20, but he gave him 500 rupees. I said, Swami, what is all this? He said, it is not the price, it is the love. It is not the price of the candy, it is the love of Bhagawan towards them. That is really, I was so happy. And he also calls boys and tells them, "Hey boys, look here. You have got the Tibetan girls from Tibet. Mm, and who will be selling these woolen wear? Mm. Go to everybody, buy. So they will be happy. Here is Sai Baba and we have got very good business. Go to them, they are poor people here. They carry on their livelihood because of these sales only. And then you must have heard of thatched hats also.
Ah, yes, straw hats.
Straw hats.
In fact, I think I have a photo of Swami and Narasimhamurthy with straw hats.
Oh, it's a straw hat. And Swami purchased one and kept on his head. When Swami wore that, everybody, whole Kodaikanal full of these straw hats. And Bhagawan said, you see, what plenty of money they have, they are very happy. That's all poor people. They all wait for Bhagawan because with Swami, Lakshmi follows necessarily. That will take care of their life.
So wonderful.
And one day he called two servant maids, very poor ladies, and he gave them silk saris. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, what Swami?
How did he pick them? They were working there in the kitchen?
They were working there. They wash utensils after all. Mm-hmm. He gave them silk saris. I said, Swami, silk saris to servant maids? Swami looked at him and said, when I give, why do you cry like that? Are you jealous? No, Swami, they can't afford these silk saris. I don't know why you give them like that. Then he said, why do you say that? When they go and attend marriages, when they go to the relations, they will wear their saris and say, Sai Baba gave me this. It gives them a lot of joy. Why do you think like that? He said, that is Sai's love for everybody, which is uniform on everyone.
He is always trying to make people happy.
Happy, extremely happy.
And the message is we should try to do the same.
We should try to love.
Tell me about how Swami sort of subtly teaches the students, because you say living with God is true education. That's the usual saying. So what are the lessons that he very subtly imparts, and what are the lessons that we are supposed to learn if you are attentive,
sir? He just watches how every student conducts himself and immediately points
X-ray
out
eyes.
If there is any mistake, he'll point out. to begin with, dining manners, starting from dining manners, mm-hmm. how one should conduct himself while one is in common dining. Mm-hmm. And then how to serve, where there's so many guests. And usually our boys only serve. Mm-hmm. And how to serve. And also how to receive guests, how to extend hospitality, how to talk to elders, how to dress, mm-hmm. all minute things. These days, parents also don't have time to observe and teach. They are busy in their own way. But Bhagwan, being more than a parent, cares for them. With the result, he'll be an excellent person that parents would not be able to identify whether the same child is staying with them. Mm-hmm. Because when they left home, they are of one form. While they come back, well, totally transformed. That is Bhagwan's charismatic transformation.
Did you feel it was kind of very strange and odd that God is doing all this?
Because God comes down for both, for reformation and transformation. Mm-hmm. Reformation from the world side, transformation towards
the inner
spiritual
side.
Inner
yes.
side.
Achha, now you say Swami selects boys with talents. How does he put these talents on display in Kodaikanal?
Bhajans?
Obviously, he must be doing
yes, sir. During bhajans, he will ask them to sing, and boys also to play on instruments, and boys who are gifted with the talent of public communication and effective speaking, they will be asked to address.
And there are some things like Kavi Sammelan. Tell us about, about that.
Kavi Sammelan, boys from Sachusai University is very peculiar. In the sense that we have students from all universities and few from overseas also. And each student is talented. And each student makes a composition, a poem or a song in his own language. And we have altogether about 15 languages or so. And one day Swami organizes this Kavi Sammelan, assembly of poets mm-hmm. with their own renderings or compositions. And Swami will ask every boy, come on, sing a song or a poem in his own native language. And Swami starts explaining, interpreting and translating. And correcting wherever they went.
Translating
wrong.
Also.
Translating.
If it's a Bengali poem, he'll translate.
All languages he translates.
And then why does he need you?
Because we don't know what language in which Jesus spoke. We don't know in which language Ramachandra spoke. And it's the good luck of the Telugu language which is spoken by Bhagawan. It is the good luck of the language, if not of the people.
That is amazing. Now, tell us a little bit about the picnics, because that must be something very unusual. We don't see. We get picked, not...
He will pick few people to the picnic.
Yes.
Well, in the nearby the mountain area in Kodaikanal, he'll take boys there. With food packets. Mm-hmm. And then they will all sit in the form of a circle. Mm-hmm. And Swami starts joking on their dress, mm-hmm. on their walking style, mm-hmm. starts imitating them, pointing their weaknesses, mm-hmm. much to the fun of everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of light and delight to know one's own mistakes. Well, he goes on pointing out, and he says, he says to one boy, you are walking almost like a lady. Well, so that boy will correct. He will know how to walk from then onwards. He will look at another boy and he will say, what is it? You're so fat, fatty. Better you just do some exercise. Oh, everybody will laugh. And there, the small slips are picked up. Mm-hmm. And on the slips are written various items. Mm-hmm. You dance. Mm-hmm. You sing. Mm-hmm. You cut a joke like that. Mm-hmm. Equal to the number of boys who squat in the form of a circle. Mm. And these slips are picked up by each and everyone. Mm. And everyone will have to necessarily do what is written there.
Everyone includes Swami?
Including Swami.
Oh my God.
Once it so happened, Professor Sampath was there in the group.
Uh-huh.
And he got a slip. Professor Sampath, a grand, great man, an unparalleled, unbeaten scientist of this country, so very well known in national and international circles, a man of ready wit and humor, a personification of human values. Well, that person of the stature, Professor Sampath himself, picked up a slip where it is written, you sing a song. He said, Swami, I am to sing a song? Swami said, I can't help it. That's what your slip says. Swami, can I be exempted? No, you should do what? Then he started singing with all his hoarse voice. He is not used to singing at all.
Yes.
And everybody started putting their fingers into their ears, plucking their ears, so that they don't have to hear it. So that added to the fun and frolic everybody. Well, there were peals of laughter at that moment.
I remember Professor Sampath telling me this story. He took it all in good style.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes.
He was a very sporting person.
Very jovial.
Wonderful man.
Very jovial.
So, if you were to summarize this extraordinary experience that Swami gives repeatedly to students, how would you summarize it?
Well, there, sir, in Kodaikanal, we'll have number of opportunities to put any number of questions to Bhagwan, covering all topics under the sun, even films also.
My God.
Even films also. The films and film stars, how they lead their lives.
Boys can ask such questions.
Why not?
Oh, fantastic.
Well, because Bhagwan himself starts explaining, in those days, actresses like Bhanumati, Lalita, Padmini came to Bhagwan, Nagaya came to Bhagwan, and many singers, they come to Bhagwan, and he starts explaining that. A fellow like me, with vast experience of watching films, naturally is tempted to put some questions. And then Swami also answers. And supposing if I dare to start singing one song, Swami immediately fill up the blanks. The rest. Swami, how do you know this song? He says, I know before the composer starts writing.
Okay, so very subtly he says that he is the source of everything. Very nice.
And today, sir, in all films, most of the films, and also on teleserials, we find Swami's pictures hanging on the walls today. And Swami's teachings also are put in the form of beautiful dialogues today. They are very popular. Swami's dialogues are very catchy, very attractive to audiences.
What do you, when you say Swami's dialogues, what do you mean by that?
Teachings. His teachings put in the form of dialogues.
Oh, I see. Yes. I see.
Most of the films they have today.
How do the boys change or get influenced by all this experience?
When once they go out with Bhagwan, they see thousands of devotees waiting for him. They're the first opportunity for boys to know how lucky they are. Those who have been waiting since the morning, early hours,
and in the cold,
noon, in the cold, till the noon to have just a glimpse of Bhagwan. Well, Swami is moving in our midst, unimaginable, undreamt. The first reaction, how lucky we are, Abba. Swami is spending time with us, we are very fortunate. Number two, and Swami watches a boy eating one particular item there. And he sees to it that he is served with extra seconds once again, so that he can eat more that particular item that he relishes. There you will understand how he cares for them.
I would be in trouble if I go to Kodaikanal. I won't eat anything.
How he cares for them. And the shirts that he presents, exactly that suits him. And the concern, the love, naturally be touched. He might not have experienced that kind of love any time till then. This brings about transformation. What shall I do in return for all that he does to me? For all the time that he spends for me, for all the concern and the love that I received, how am I to repay? How am I to...
And what does Swami say about that?
Swami says, I don't want anything from you. I want you to get a good name for yourself.
And the institute.
For your parents and to the institution. That is the way of expressing gratitude to Bhagwan. That's what he says. Do good, be good, see good is the quintessence of Sai message.
It is so unimaginable. We don't know whether Lord Ramachandra ever did such a thing. Probably the Vanaras had the thrill of his proximity in their journey to Sri Lanka. And certainly we know Lord Krishna spent an extraordinary, wonderful time with the Gopalas. We don't have to read any scriptures. If we go to Kodaikanal or even hear about it, it is so wonderful. It is said in our tradition that hearing about the Lord itself gives one redemption. So I hope all our listeners who are listening to you would feel thrilled.
Besides that, sir, the variety of audience, national, international, covering the whole world. Rama, I don't think he did.
Yes.
Variety of audience.
No, that is true.
Or Krishna.
Globalization hadn't taken place at that time.
And then different cross sections of society.
No, that's true.
Engineers.
Well, certainly we didn't have film stars in those
days. Different age groups. However, cosmopolitan.
But just imagine, this broadcast will be going all over the world.
Oh.
And so, literally, you are brought Kodaikanal experience to thousands and hundreds of thousands of people.
So it's all my
over.
Pleasure.
So
thank you
we
very
are very
much.
Grateful to you from Radio Sai.
I'm grateful.
And
to
we
sir.
Hope we will have more opportunities. After and your next Kodai trip, you are going to report here.
Oh, I eagerly look forward to the opportunity.
So at least for that sake, I hope you will be taken this if. Yeah.
Thank you,
you very much.
Thank
Sai
you,
Ram.
It's
Sai
my
Ram.
Pleasure. Sai Ram.
Vinayaka सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम साई ध्यान करो सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे
ब्रह्म
सनातन हे परम दया घन पावन हे परम दया घन पावन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे
Thank you. பதாரவிந்தம் கராரவிந்தேன பதாரவிந்தம் முகாரவிந்தே வினிவேசயந்தம் கராரவிந்தேன பதாரவிந்தம் முகாரவிந்தே வினிவேசயந்தம் வடஸ்
Thank you. श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
श्री गुरु पति वासा
श्री गुरु पति
श्री गुरु
ಗಿರಿಧರ ಬಾಲ ಹೇ ನಂದಲಾಲ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಬಾಲ ಹೇ ನಂದಲಾಲ
ಗಿರಿಧರ ಬಾಲ ಹೇ ನಂದಲಾಲ
ದೇವಕಿ ನಂದನ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ದೇವಕಿ ನಂದನ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗಿರಿಧರ ಬಾಲ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಕೇಶವ
ಮಾಧವ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಸಾಯಿ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಬಾಲ ಹೇ ನಂದಲಾಲ.